Good evening to everyone. Let me ask you this question. When was the last time that you can remember saying something, starting a sentence off like this? You know, I ought to, or I ought. You know, we think about that word, you know, and there's some things about that word, and we're going to look at that this evening, about the word ought. You know, this is mentioned several times throughout the pages of Scripture, and there are some things that we ought to do. You know, turn your Bibles, if you have them, over to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. I want to look at verse 32 to give us a Scripture to introduce this with. 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32. In this passage of Scripture, it's speaking of, and by this one passage says, of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. You know, that word, if we think about it, ought means one guy, person has to explain this as it's owed to do. There's something we are owed to do. Webster in his dictionary, I looked up some of these thoughts, and it said this, it's used to express an obligation. And then it goes on to say a moral obligation, a duty that we have. So there are some things that we ought to do. Here we find that the sons of Issachar knew what Israel ought to do. Doesn't mean they were doing that always, just like with us. We may not always be doing those things either. And so what we're going to do tonight is just take a look through the Scriptures here and look and see at some places to where this passage of Scripture is used. First we're going to look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. In this, you'll remember the apostles, they've been out preaching, and they have also been arrested. They've been taken, and they've been put into prison. As they're put into prison, we find that what's taking place is that, you know, that they have a guard there, and they've been locked up all night, they think. They send a guard the next day, they send down to get them, to bring them out of that prison, and the guards are there, the cell is empty, but it's locked. So what happened to them? Well, an angel came in the night and told them to go out to the temple and to preach this message. And so they went there and they went back to preach again. And in this passage of Scripture through here, you know, we find out that the people are talking about this as we think of it. In verse 29, it was Peter makes an answer to these men wanting to know, when they want to know why it is that you're doing this, he makes an answer in that 29th verse. Peter and the apostles, they replied and they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. You know, we think about how important it is then to obey God. That obedience is something that is so important in our lives today as we come to understand what we need to be and how we need to be following God. And we need to make sure that obedience is part of our life, not just a partial obedience, but we are totally obeying what God wants us to do in every way, to the best of our ability in every way. You know, as I think about this, I go back, and there are different ones we could look at to see. Let's go back to, as we think about, First Samuel here, chapter 15. And I want to look at Saul. Saul has been told to go and destroy all the Amalekites. And destroying the Amalekites, you know, it's all the people, all the animals, all these kind of things. And so they go and they do that. But what they do is they bring back some of the sheep and some herd. You know, so what we find is when you look down at the passage of Scripture in verse 13. This is Samuel when he goes back to Saul after Saul has gone back from this victory that he's won. Samuel came to Saul and Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I've carried out the command of the Lord. And notice verse 14. Samuel said, then what is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen this time? You know, he didn't put everything to death. Even the king was brought back with all of them and all of this time. So notice what verse he tells them, that we brought this back so that we could offer sacrifices. You know, even that the people brought this back. No, Saul didn't take any credit for doing this. The people did this, but he allowed it evidently. And so as we look at this in verse 22, skip down to verse 22 and notice what Samuel says to Saul. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. You know, we think about how important that truly is, isn't it? Making sure that we are trying to be obedient. I just love reading through the book of Hebrews because it just shows the superiority of Jesus. You get over to that 11th chapter, you find different people through there, you know, that starts off by faith, our hall of fame of faith, if you want to call it that, if you think of it. But, you know, but we look at all those people down through there, and we see these people, they had great faith because of the fact that they did something. You know, we read about Noah, great man, wasn't he? We read about, about Abraham. We read about, Moses. And just so many down through there. But you ever notice what they did? God called upon them. Noah built an ark. What did he do? He obeyed. He built an ark. Massive structure. Took years to build. But you know, we see that because of what he did, that world was able to be saved. You know, we go ahead and we think also here of Abraham. Get up and leave your family. Go to a land that I will show you, and I'll make you a great nation. And all the things that it's going to come, and all the things going to happen because of that. And what did he do? He got up and he went. You know, I don't ever see him all, you know, arguing with God. Well, God, Lord, why do I need to go? You know, or how long am I going to be gone? Or, you know, we don't see him doing that. He just left. That's what he did in doing that. Moses, lead the people out of Egypt. And think about him, all the excuses. I think there were about five excuses he makes down through there to saying that he can't do that. He's not capable of doing that. But finally, he obeyed God, and those children of Israel were delivered, and God made a great nation out of them like he had promised Abraham such a long time ago. You know, we think about how important it is to be obedient to God in our lives today. You and myself, we must make sure that we're doing this. Joshua would take the people of Israel over into that promised land. And as he did, he comes to the end of his life, and he's sitting speaking to the people at the very end of this. But you know that passage in Joshua chapter 24? In verse 15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's what he did. And all the people down through there are letting it be made known that they're going to do that also. In verse 24, notice what this, the people are saying to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. And they did for a while. I wonder if we're ever like that. We do for a while. But then something comes up and maybe we don't follow God. But we're called upon to make sure we do this. We ought to obey God in our life, in every aspect of our life, in every part of it. A second thing we can look at is this one, Hebrews chapter 2 in verse 1. Hebrews 2 in verse 1. And in this passage of scripture in the book of Hebrews, again, speaking to the great superiority of Jesus right here, you know, and notice what he says. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. If you have the King James Version right there, you said where the word must was the word, it was the word we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard. You know, it's very important then that what we do is we listen to what the Word of God says. And it's not just enough just to go out here and as we think about it just to hear that message. But, you know, there has to be some time that we give heed to that message. We do what that message says. There has to be a time of obedience in our life to where we're going to follow what it is that our God really does desire for each and every one of us to do. You know, we think about and we talked about in this class in James for a while that Wade's been teaching. That passage, James 1, verse 22, but be doers of the word. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You know how important that is, that we don't just read or we don't just hear that message, but what we do is we actually put it into practice. You know, sometimes we may not always do that to the best of our ability. Sometimes we don't follow as we should, but hopefully we're doing that and we are. And it's such an important thing. And just like it's been pointed out so many times before, you know, James, the brother of Jesus, and he drew from a lot of things Jesus said. Matthew chapter 7, great sermon, Sermon on the Mount. And when we think about that sermon, we go down to verse 24. Jesus begins by saying, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, heeds them if you would, acts on them, and may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, the flood came, the winds blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon a rock. And then we find in verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You know, we think of how important it is to make sure that we are, and we're giving heed to the word of God. We ought to give heed to make sure that this is a very important part of our life. You know, and sometimes, you know, we need to make sure that we're taking time to read it, times to study it, time to do what we can. And sometimes we allow things to get in there our way. Sometimes other things are given a priority over this. But there ought to be a time, and most of us, I hope, will make that opportunity day after day to do what God wants us to do as we come and we think about this message. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and we're going to look at verse 1 to see something else that we ought to do. Now, he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. You know, the fact is, you know, that we ought to pray at all times. And the reason we're doing this is so that we don't lose heart. You know, sometimes we give up too easy. Sometimes we think God's not there. You know, God's already been, you know, and we knows everything is taking place. You know, no matter what's happening today, God knows what's going on. And it's really under his control, isn't it? He hadn't left this world in chaos. He's still here, you know, and we need to make sure we're trying to follow him. You know, as we think about this, I think it's the Pilgrim Bible it was that had a note down there by this verse there, and it stated, on all occasions, pray or be in an attitude of prayer. And that's perhaps maybe the idea, because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, it was that Paul said to pray without ceasing. And we think of that, always have that attitude of prayer. Well, Doug, does that mean that I got to pray every waking moment of my life? Well, we can't, can we? But you know, but we need to have this attitude where we go to God and we give God the very best and try to give him all of this. You know, our prayer life is really something that really is important. Years ago, I was at school preaching, and one of our instructors walked in and sat down, and sometimes they just talk with us before they did anything, forgotten to class and everything. And this one said, well, I want to let you guys know, said that I got to realizing that my prayer life with God just really wasn't what it ought to be. He said, but I've taken care of that, and everything's back on the road now. And you know, that's the beautiful part of it, that when we realize that our prayer lives have gotten off track, we have that opportunity to get back on track, to make sure we take that. So I find that time to pray, early morning, late at night, you know, any time at all, whatever, but make sure that we have that time that we're asking for certain things to be done. And as we do that, and if we're doing this, there's a reason we're doing all of this, which brings us to our next thought. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. And here Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, says to them, finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. How you ought to walk and please God. We need to be pleasing to our God by the way that we live our lives. And that's something that really is extremely important. We can look at this. There's some things we could look at. In the book of Hebrews, turn over there for a moment, Hebrews chapter 13. And there's some ways perhaps maybe that we can look at this as to what we're called upon to do. And hopefully this will be beneficial to us. One of the ways we do this is praise. I mentioned our brethren, his prayer a while ago, mentioned about our praise giving to God. But therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. There it is. We think about as we live our lives today right here, we think about this and we offer up the praise to God, the fruit of our lips. We look there at something else right here, and notice that we are offering that as a sacrifice to him. We look at here at something else, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. We look then and we can see that God wants us to do these things. So here he wants us to share. You know, I look at it from this standpoint. Maybe whatever we have, we're called upon to make sure that we're sharing that. We're using it for God's good. The reason God's given it to us is because, well, it's all his anyway, isn't it, really? You know, we have a house, you may own it outright. Some of us are still paying on ours. Car, you may own it outright. You may still be paying on it. But you know what? That car belongs to God. That's his. And he's given it to us to use for a while. So we stop and we think about life and some of these things right here. So we think of our praising our God, and we think about our giving as we do. And one other thing, turn over to Romans 12, the first two verses. It's Paul writes this letter to his brethren at Rome, our brothers and sisters. He said to them, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. We find then to realize that with how important it is that we do these things. Maybe we could even say, you know, that we give our songs of praise to God. We give of our substance that we have, the things that we have, we share that. And we also give even of ourselves. That's part of what we give back to God. How important that truly is. Paul, writing in the Galatian letter, Paul just writing to this church here who had strayed away from God and was listening to some false teachers, just wrote this out. And at the end of his letter, he says, you see how I wrote this with my own hand. I can see great big letters that Paul probably wrote this out as he took this. And very diligently, he's writing this. But in Galatians 2, and in verse 20, he says these words, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the faith, or flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, gave himself on my behalf. You know, we go back and we think about Paul. Paul was willing and gave everything that he had, didn't he? You know, we stop and think of how important it is for us today to be sure that we're giving all that we have, the praise, the fruit of our lips, you know, as we think of this, that sharing the many great blessings God's given to with us, and just sharing our own selves also. Turn over to 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. In this passage of Scripture, you know, John was the great apostle. He wrote about love a great deal, didn't he? Notice what he says here in this 11th verse. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. What a great thought. We ought to. You know, and how powerful that truly is when we stop and think about this. This love is seeking the best for another individual, not expecting anything in return. You know, it's unconditional. You can describe it like that if you want to. You know, there's so many ways we can think of this word right here and all that it has. But this is the way we ought to do. We ought to love one another. Jesus said in John chapter 13 and verse 35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. How are they going to know that? Well, by the love that you have for one another. That's how they're going to know that you're my disciples, the way that you love each other. I think that's such a great and such a powerful thing. There's another passage I want you to turn to, though. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. We may have looked at this before, but I think it's kind of neat that both of these, there's a John 3:16 in the Gospels. You know, we probably learned that to quote that for a long time ago. For God so loved the world, and you know, we know what that states, the whole thing. You know, but I want you to notice what 1 John 3, verse 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought. There's another ought, isn't it? Ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You know, here's an opportunity. You know, would we be willing to do this? You know, in a time of persecution that the church was going through at that moment, would they be willing to lay down their lives for one another? You know, we don't have the persecution, at least right now. It's coming, I'm afraid. But you know, right now we think about this and we understand it. We ought to love one another. And I believe, I look around this congregation and I can see a great deal of love in this congregation with each other. You know, you let's say it like this. We all practice this, I think. Cindy and I have been very pleased and very blessed to be here and be a part of this congregation at this time. And know that this is something that does. I really believe this congregation loves each other. And not just each other, but others also, you know, as we think in others who need some help also, there that we stop and understand them too. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. I think it's the New King James that states it like this. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. The New American Standard Bible that I use basically it points out that you that are strong bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not please ourselves. Basically, we think of those who are spiritually weak is what we're thinking of right here, is who we're thinking about during this time period, you know, in life. And we think about what we ought to be doing. We ought to be trying to help the weak. Help those that are spiritually weak and not able to do everything they can yet. You know, we stop and we think about babes in Christ. You know, babes in Christ I'm not saying that they're weak and everything, but their faith is young, you know, and we stop and think about how it needs to grow and be nurtured, and boy, what an opportunity we have to help do that in life today, and how that we can help to do in all these things that our God has asked us to do. And so we do this, and this just helps us to be what we need to be. Paul, writing again that letter to the church at Galatia, in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 2, he would state, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. On down, look at verse 10, what he stated there. So then, while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Here we have the opportunity to do good to everyone, but especially to one another in the church. This is very important as we stop and we think about this. I have one more that we'll look at, and then the lesson will be yours. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. 1 John 2, 6. And that passage just states, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. We're called upon to walk in the way that our Lord walked. Jesus walked and he lived. And if we think about his life, lived in dependence upon his Father, didn't he? Well, we know that it wasn't by himself he got through everything that he got through. Dependence upon the Father. Obedience to the Father. That's what he did also, as we see that. And we look at this and we see that, and we can see that it was said of Jesus in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 that he went about doing good. He went about doing good. You know, that's how Jesus did it. And do you think it would please Jesus if we're doing that same thing, that we go about and we're doing good to all people, to whoever it may be? Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to look at and wind it up with maybe this passage. In 1 Peter chapter 2. We're called upon to walk in the way that Christ walked and the way he lived his life. And I think this just gives us the fact here, the great example that we had. In this passage, Peter writing to the church states, you've been called for this purpose, verse 21, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in his steps. And then it talks about what Jesus went through, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. There's that example that we follow. And he's the one that we're trying to please every day. He's that one that went through so much for us so that we can live with him one day. You know, as we think about all this, there's a fellow, his name is Calvin Laufer, has written some words. A song, I think it was, but so it goes something like this. Master of the loving heart, the friend of all in need, we pray that we may be like you in thought, in word, and deed. Your days were full of kindly acts. Your speech was true and kind, true and plain. Of those who ever sought you, Lord, none came to you in vain. Your face was warm with sympathy. Your hand God's strength revealed. Who saw your face or felt your touch were comforted and healed. Oh, grant us hearts like yours, dear Lord, so joyous, free, and true, that all your children everywhere may be drawn to you. Hopefully we will think about what we ought to do. We ought to obey God. We ought to heed God's word. We ought to pray always. We ought to please God. We ought to love one another. We ought to help the weak. We ought to walk as Christ walked. You know, we point out and we say it again here, there's that obligation that we have. But we stop and think about in a gathering like this, you know, there may be times that somebody's not a Christian. Somebody's never given their life to Christ. Somebody has maybe understands, know that they need to believe, as the Bible teaches in John 8, verse 24. Except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. You know, we find out that that person needs to confess Christ. Or repent of their sins. You know, Acts 2, verse 38, Peter told the people who asked him on that day, repent and be baptized. And you know, change, that's what that word means. We're changing directions. You know, you're going east, you say, wait a minute, I'm going the wrong direction. You ever done that? You go the different direction. You do that. And that's all that word means, is change. You know, as we think about it, but we change from the inside out. Our hearts are changed. It's not just an outward show that we're having. It has to come from the heart. We confess Jesus before men. We do that. You know, Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33. And if we do that, Jesus is going to, if we confess him, he's going to confess us to the Father. But if we deny him, he's going to deny us before the Father, is what that text states. But then we're called upon, as Peter said again in Acts 2, 38, to be baptized, to make sure that we are washed, and we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. As we think about how important all of that is, maybe you've not done that today. Maybe you know that you need to do that. Maybe you know that you ought to do that. If you do, we're going to give you an opportunity in just a moment to respond to our invitation. And if you're here and already have done all of those things and you're a member of the body, are you doing all the things that you ought to do? Hopefully we can stop and think about that, and if there's changes need to be made in any of our lives, we can do that. Make those changes to be what we need to be. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, come while we stand and sing.